It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. As always, it's a pleasure to have you waking up with us here for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. The guys are in rare form. We've had spirited conversation already.
Rare form.
Rare form means that they waddled in here.
A little skinnier, right?
Waddled, huh?
Yeah.
That's not rare.
Yeah, that is rare. that we'd all be here in good spirits. It is nice to see you both. Russ Smith here from SkyCall, first
good morning.
Of all.
Yeah.
It's good to tug you away from what's been a crazy month for you guys.
It was hard to get away this morning. Phone call after phone call, and finally I just said, to heck with it.
You can always tell Russ is in when his transporter makes noise in the background.
Well, this is taking care of your business here.
Okay.
Well, our business.
How many years have we done this show together?
Yeah. Well.
Seriously.
I want to say 16.
And you would think, after all that time.
It hasn't been that long for you.
Hang on. You would think after all that time and all those Saturdays and taking crap from us every time that phone makes noise, you would turn off the speaker.
By the way, Russ, I've been here 13 years. Yeah. My leg buzzes the whole show, and you know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Leg buzzes?
My phone's in the pocket.
That might be Russ tickling you under the counter.
Okay. Okay. You want me to just turn my phone all the way off?
No.
I know you're trying to.
Buzz and put it in your pocket.
We got stuff going on here.
Put it on vibrate.
This is
so it stays quiet.
The hub of activity right here.
All right.
Hub.
And they say this is what we look forward to every Saturday morning.
I didn't go to BYU.
He always says make stuff up. Hub of activity is a good way to rejoin. This is not.
Navidauskas is also in with us, and part of the rare form I was talking about is you're in mid-season form for college football.
Oh, man.
You've been reading the Cougar blogs,
oh,
I think.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. You know, if A is equal to C and C can beat D, then D beats A, especially. Their logic is full on nuts. I was trying to stay with them and give them the benefit of the doubt because they're rivals. But, oh, my gosh, this is crazy.
All right.
This is crazy.
Just remember, you're on the flagship home of Cougar
That's
Sports
right.
here.
Don't read the Cougar board.
Cougar Sports Saturday coming up later today on KSL, so keep listening for that. No, I think it's the reason we're in midseason form, or you are, and that these blogs are going crazy is because they start the season against each other.
Right.
That hasn't happened in a long time. And
The
way this game goes down, year in and year out, no matter what the talent level is, it does sort of require you to be on your A game right out of the chutes, which I think is probably good for
this. This is awesome. I can't wait for the week before because, you know, rivalry week's the best week. It's almost like Christmas week. But now it's a month. Or more.
Yeah.
It's been going.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Been a crazy week for outdoor news, which we'll get more into coming up in a few minutes here on KSL. But so many stories of people getting hurt, having to be rescued and dying in the outdoors. And some of them just downright freak accidents like Bridalville Falls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
And we had audio this week on Utah's Morning News from a guy who was up there with his daughter, I think it was, who had passed through that spot just, you know, seconds before.
Right.
And they saw the guy that ended up dying, who was here visiting family from Mexico, I think, got hit by a rock that just came loose somewhere.
Was a log?
No, it was originally it was a log.
They weren't sure.
But it turned out to be a rock, according to those that were right there.
That can happen.
And there were a couple of other rocks the following day that also came loose while the guys were up there checking on stability of that area. But just crazy stuff, and always a reminder that even if you're an experienced hiker, an experienced outdoors person, things can go wrong, and you need to have contingency plans in case they do.
That gentleman that died up there by the flag in Rock Canyon, hiking alone. I don't understand hiking alone. I'm an experienced guy.
Mm.
I don't understand hiking alone.
Well, I can tell you my son. who likes to get in the backcountry and hike and has lots of trails he likes up on the east side of the valley because he
goes
can go
by himself.
He can go do that, and he can come back and get to work on time. He takes his dog, and it's just him and his dog, and he prefers that solace when he's out there by himself.
I vote for that, too. I do a lot of stuff like that by myself. Growing up, I hiked a lot by myself up in the Sierras.
Well, I think it makes a difference, too, on if it's a short out and back, or, you know, you wouldn't want to do it by yourself often if you were going long-term, long-distance.
I did it for 10 days.
Found his body with the GPS tracker.
Oh, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. And he was in trouble on the edge of a cliff, and he called his friend for help, and when they got there, he was down and dead.
Hmm. Yeah, so we've had incidences of people on ATVs, or maybe it was a side-by-side, but I think it was an ATV who got hurt, and we've had fatalities this year at places like Sand Hollow. We had injuries of people who were on water toys being pulled by boats. You know, everybody likes to have a good time. Sometimes you get caught up in the fun, and you do things that you otherwise probably wouldn't try.
Yeah.
Just want to be smart.
It used to just be lightning. It was our number one killer. But now we have a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And I have to say, though, I am thrilled when I get a phone return and somebody says,
didn't have to use it?
No. Man, I'm glad we had that phone.
Yeah.
We had an injury. One party just came back. They drug their feet taking a phone. We really don't need it, you know. I said, well, it's okay. Take it. Don't use it, you know. But they came back and said, man, if we hadn't had that phone, this kid would have died.
Yeah, he told us this last week.
This was a different story. This was out in Yellowstone Lake on canoes.
Wow.
Had an injury and...
Well, that's another reason we always preach taking a phone with you just in case. But as you told us last week, many of those incidences are people using the phone to help someone else they find in trouble along the
Almost
way.
Almost always like that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about being smart when you're in the backcountry, and specifically when you're in our national parks. Two of the stories that broke this week, and we actually confused it, Amanda and I did, because we thought it was the same story of incidences and encounters with bison. One was at Yellowstone National Park, was a 9-year-old girl. Then we had like a 16 or 17-year-old boy in South Dakota, I think, who also had an incident with a bison.
I love the interview. He goes, they say, well, he was a safe distance away. Obviously, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Safe distance means he would still be here.
Right. And the thing we learned, and we'll talk more about this later in the show, the thing we learned about the incident in Yellowstone is what we talk about all the time. Mm. They estimate there were 20 people who were standing within 20 feet of this bison. And while the bison just stood there and didn't react, they thought, maybe we'll get a little closer. Maybe I'll go get a selfie with the bison. And not one person in that group, I mean, that we know of, maybe there were, not one person in that group said, hey, we need to back up and get a safe distance here because that's a big animal and they aren't, you know, this is not a petting zoo. And the 9-year-old girl ended up being launched like a rodeo clown up into the air by a bull.
You got time for a short story on this one?
Yeah.
We're at Yellowstone. My son Mickey is in a walker. So he was less than 2-year-old maybe. And we were at the picnic table having dinner.
Yeah.
And some buffalo just wandered through our camp. And we're like, oh. And then because our tent awning, made a shady spot, the big, big male buffalo goes and plops down.
Oh, crap. That's where we're going to lay down.
Because it was shady there. And, of course, he blocked the tent door, right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there with our food in our mouth going, what do we do? Well, our 1-year-old Mickey tore off to the buffalo. And he went right over, and his little walker banged against the buffalo, and he's grabbing the fur. And my wife tears are coming down her face. She goes, what do we do? And I go, don't move quickly. I figured if we went to the save Mickey, he might have, you know, got up or something. And we just watched, and Mickey played with the fur on the buffalo, true story. And then eventually we got his attention, and he came back to us. Mm. But...
That's crazy.
It was crisis, yeah.
Wow. We know somebody who obviously was dealing with this from the time he was a toddler.
Yes,
speaking
we
of
do.
Taking little kids at, and that's Mike Seeley.
He was raised with buffalo.
He was the buffalo whisperer.
We used to say Mickey loves the buffalo.
The buffalo. Mike grew up in West Yellowstone, where his dad, Clyde, of course, raised him. And so that was his playground. That was his backyard. And he's agreed to come on with us later in the show. And we'll talk about how his parents walked him through and what he learned through his years. range. And he was always the guy, whether it was summertime or wintertime, that guided us through parts of the park and even parts outside the park. So we'll look forward to that. Also going to be talking with the National Ability Center. What do they call it? The Summit Challenge is coming back on Saturday, August 24th, which through the years has become known as the state's biggest ride for cyclists of all abilities and continues to provide people of all ages and skill levels with the chance to go out and experience the beauty of the Utah mountains. But some amazing stories come from the National Ability Center, and I think we're actually going to talk to one of the riders who will participate. So we'll look forward to that. And then a contact we had in studio a couple of times.
Right, back, it's been about a year and a half ago, less than a year and a half.
Yeah.
Lisa Coburn.
Right. And I think when we connected with her the last time, she was at the YMCA dealing with a camp there, but she's Montana.
She had a couple camps here. No, she is in Oregon now. I believe that's her home state. Actually, she's an executive now with the Campfire Girls. They just call it Campfire now because it's more than girls. But, and she's thrilled to be there because it's where she always wanted to be. And she's getting ready to do a trip to Alaska.
Nice.
We're going to talk to her about where she's going to go and her preparations. She's going to take a phone with her so she can keep in touch.
Also, August, now that we're in it, is, what do they call it, the National Shooting Sports Safety something month. It's got some long title to it. Because of that, it's National Shooting Sports Month. We're going to be talking with George Summer, who is a wildlife recreation program specialist at the Lee K. Public Shooting Center, and walk through things because there are a lot of hunters out there that are now, rightfully so, getting to know maybe a new gun or sighting in the gun and getting it ready for the hunt season. So we'll do all of that. Plus, we've got some news of the week coming up here in just a minute. So make sure you stay with us. We do need to take a break. More of KSL Outdoors Radio just ahead.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is time for the news of the week. Sometimes we joke about how, you know, entertaining it would be for people to hear the conversations that go on during commercial break.
I don't think this last one was that entertaining.
This particular one about earwax, probably not going to make the air here. We'll just leave it at that.
We could talk about it.
No.
Yeah, but nobody would hear us. We got earwax issues.
Well, that's why we talk so loud.
I know. Yeah! All right. A couple of things on the radar this week. First of all, there was a story a week ago about the cougar that somebody spotted at like 2 a.m. or something crossing the street in Provo. Did you see that?
No. So,
wasn't Cosmo. It was a cougar.
What was her name?
Who got caught down in civilization, which happens from time to time.
They're down a lot.
They fished one out of a window well in my neighborhood in West Jordan several years ago.
Yeah.
And they had, like, Chopper 5 flying over trying to spot this thing.
They like pet food. And pets, by the way.
Yeah.
So they do, they like pet food.
Really? Scrunchies.
So they do the pet food, and then they have Sammy for dinner on their way out. Anyway, it just raised the... idea and the knowledge that we have a growing population of cougars in the state of Utah, and that very seldom, and we've had this conversation before, very seldom do we go out and know that they're right there working while you're hiking, mountain biking, whatever it is. And they'll usually leave you alone.
Right.
And they always advise, I saw Faith Jolly talking about this on Channel 5 a couple of days ago, they advise you not to run because that then becomes a game.
That makes it fun for the cougar.
Yeah.
And by the way, they can outrun you, so don't try that.
It's like, don't run from a blue heeler either.
No, I got it.
Because try it on my driveway next time.
Time to play. You've seen all the cougars I forgot her name, our tailgate buddy.
I don't know.
Shane.
Oh, Shane.
Yeah. Shane's got, you know, he's got that little
night camera thing in his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
You see how many cougars he gets on that?
Yeah.
A lot.
It's amazing. Yeah. Well, I bring it up because the Division of Wildlife Resources in the RAC meeting was suggesting, and I think they've approved it or they're about to anyway, an increase in permits by three dozen or something, 30, 35, over last year. And some people, you know, had some pushback on that, but it's just, you know, a population number they want to maintain here.
Yeah.
And we've obviously had more incidents.
The attacks are incredibly rare.
Oh,
no, they've happened, but they're incredibly rare.
Yeah. It would be interesting to know if by increasing permits you actually increase the yield, which
you know what?
The
studies do say that's true.
But you actually do? Because it puts more hunters out.
It's however many you put in your bag is how many pups they have.
But it's certainly, don't.
Yeah.
You might, if you could break even and keep the population the same, you'd be successful.
The other thing I wanted to update people on was over the Pioneer Day weekend, they did more searching of boats, inspecting of boats, almost 6,000 of them, by the way, which I thought the number was pretty big, inspecting them to help prevent the spread of quagga mussels. And we've got some of the statistics on what happened here. A total of 5,892 boats inspected. Most of those, I think a quarter of those, were at Lake Powell because we have such a concern down there. Yeah. But during the inspections at three Lake Powell stations, 11 dead quagga mussels were found on boats leaving the lake.
11! No, that's a lot. Those
well,
are so tiny. That's scary. You only need two.
Of the 15,
I'm impressed.
Of the 1,582 inspections done at Lake Powell and the Kanab Port of Entry stations, 138 full decontaminations were performed, 11 citations issued. The individuals towing boats received the citation for either not stopping at an inspection station or for transporting the boat with drain plugs still in. So, you know, little things can get you in big trouble. Be thinking about that as you go to your favorite body of water. Was it last year or the year before? I think it was 2 years ago. They had an inspection site set up just on the other side of Heber City on the way up to
Daniels. That's still open. Yeah.
Is it there?
Yeah, they're still using that.
I'm not used to pulling a boat. I sold my boat years ago, but my...
You went right by it.
It would be easy to do. Yeah.
My daughter's fiancé had a boat, and we were headed up there to do it, and I wasn't in the habit of thinking I got a boat on behind me.
Right.
I started to go straight past him, and I saw the guy running for his truck, and I went, okay, I'm going to turn around, I'm coming back in, because I realized I had a boat on.
And you know, the neighboring states, Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, they don't, like, we're now contaminated.
Yeah.
And so we're definitely tagged. We have to stop with our pontoons and get them sprayed.
Yeah.
Get a little decal.
There is a DWR website for a list of all the decontamination stations around the state. So go to wildlife.utah.gov and make sure you check on that. We need to take a break. We've got a news update on the half hour and then more of KSL Outdoors coming up here in just a minute.